Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 5, where Jesus, on the Sabbath day, healed a paralyzed man. That caused a reaction from the Jews. They were very critical of him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, so they thought, but also because he claimed to be equal with God. And beginning with verse 19 of John chapter 5, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead, and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." This is such an important section concerning the doctrine of the divine Son. Throughout his ministry, Jesus made various claims concerning his mission, his origin, and his deity, but nowhere did he ever express in such a bold and systematic way the unity and equality which he had with the Father. His discourse, beginning with verse 19 and going through the end of the chapter, is a critical passage because it serves as a major basis for what Christians believe about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The importance of this section is underscored by the fact that in verses 19 through 26, Jesus refers to himself as the Son 8 times. That is significant because in the whole Gospel of John, there are only 5 more such references. So this obviously is a concentrated and forceful claim for deity. Those who respect Jesus as only a good man need to be confronted with these claims here in John chapter 5. I have found over a number of years when people question the deity of Christ and wonder whether he claimed to be the Son of God or to be more than a man, I have found myself going back to John chapter 5 most frequently. I take you back now to verse 18, and this is the passage which I think people ought to memorize. It says they wanted to kill Jesus. Why? Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also claimed to be equal with God. Anyone who claims to be equal with God and is not equal with God ought to be stoned to death, or else he ought to be locked up. We don't have many other choices. Either he knows what he is talking about and is speaking truth, or he is totally false and a deceiver, making wild claims. We cannot say that Jesus is a good man and a good teacher, but not equal with God, because he couldn't be good at all if he is deceiving people with the kinds of claims that he made. If what he said is not true, he is totally false and not to be trusted. But he is who he claimed to be, and the signs which he will be performing in the Gospel of John, and which we have already studied earlier in the Gospel of John, adequately confirm that Jesus is who he claimed to be. I am reminded of what Nicodemus said, that ruler of the Jews, in John chapter 3. He came to Jesus and said, "No man could do these things that you do, except God be with him." Well, that might not acknowledge equality with God, but at least Nicodemus agreed that this Jesus was a prophet of sorts because God was working through him, and indeed, That was the purpose of the signs. The impact of the claims of Jesus is best realized if we analyze what is said here in these passages. In verse 19, he claims that he sees what the Father is doing. I want to ask, do you see what the Father is doing? None of us could make that kind of a claim. And he also claims that he does the same works that the Father is doing. Jesus confirmed that the Father is still working. That's in verse 17. Now, when God completed creation, everything was good. Everything was right. And he was satisfied. But sin entered the world, and that resulted in God getting back to work. He worked through men. He worked through prophets. And he does amazing things to convince men that there is a God, and that this God cares, and he is in charge. So throughout the Old Testament, we see many miracles that confirm that God has not forgotten a sinful world. He has not abandoned sinful man. He is still working. He is still caring, and we see him working now through Jesus Christ. So Jesus makes these bold claims that what the Father does, he also does. In verse 20, Jesus said the Father shows the Son everything. The Father did not show the prophets everything. He did not show them all about salvation. We learned that from Peter's epistle. And he didn't show the angels everything either. Now in verse 21 we read, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will." Now this is tremendous, for only God gives life. But Jesus claims that he can do that also. And in verse 22, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son." Here he claims the authority to judge has been given to him. And then in verse 23, "That all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Equal honor is due to the Son of God. You can see how extremely bold these claims are by Jesus. He better be right, or he is very, very wrong, and to be scorned if he is wrong. Now let's consider verses 19 and 20 together, where Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all that he is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." Jesus said, "Truly, truly." When you find this statement, a double truly, you have an intended emphasis that something very important is going to be said. And we find that throughout this gospel. Here, there is something very important. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing." The significance of this statement by Jesus is that any charge against the Son for breaking the Sabbath law is also what? It's a charge against the Father who is working. That's what they charged Jesus with. They charged him with breaking the Sabbath day and implied that Jesus was charging God with breaking the Sabbath. Now, any accusation against the visible Son is an accusation against the invisible one to whom the Son is united, and that union between the Son and the Father is absolute. This section of Scripture will bring that out. This is why Jesus could say in John chapter 14, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Now that's too much for most of us. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. How can this be? Because there is no other representation of God other than Jesus. Now, someone might say, Jesus is not here now, so how can we see God? If you want to see God, read the Scriptures. The Gospel accounts of Jesus will give you God speaking. For God was speaking through him, and he was speaking for God. You can see also, through the miracles that Jesus did in those Gospel accounts, how God was working as Jesus worked. I think that we will never actually see God the Father, for he is a spirit, but we will see Jesus because he has a body. And someday in glory we will be with him and we will see him as he is and we will know him and he will know us completely. He will represent the Father in that great day. Don't expect to see the Father because the Father has chosen to be represented by the Son. He has exalted him above every creature. He has put him to the highest place, and he wants us to totally honor the Son. I don't think we are ever going to see any more than Jesus himself, the glorified Christ. That's why he could say, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I think we'll be satisfied with seeing him. The human mind can't comprehend the full meaning of the unity of the Son and the Father. But these statements declare that an action by one is an action by the other. Jesus does not mean that he is duplicating or mimicking what the Father does, for the two are so united that one cannot work independently of the other. When Jesus is doing something or saying something in the Bible, you have a right to say that God is saying something and doing something. That is how closely united the Son and the Father are. Leon Morris, a New Testament commentator, calls this a community action with the Father. One of the most instructive passages on this relationship of the Son and the Father is found in John 14:10-11. Jesus said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father?" Notice, he says, "in the Father, and the Father in me." How can you understand that kind of an expression? It's difficult. But then he added, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." Now, if you can't believe that, then you really can't be a Christian according to the New Testament. That is the essence of the truth, that he and the Father are one. That he is deity, not a man, not a prophet only, not a good teacher, but deity. This is God in the flesh. And we're going to see that further as we continue our study next week. I hope you'll join me here. The book of Acts is a record of Jesus building his church. Our teaching tapes will explain the difficult passages of this historic book. For information on how to order tapes on the book of Acts, write to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for our Teaching Tapes brochure. Until next week, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.